Welcome to the Basic Money Matters Show, where we will discuss tools and tips to help you manage your money. Are you ready to get your finances in order? Well, here's your host, Annette Sullivan, certified public accountant and owner of Temple Management Consulting, to show us how.
In a previous episode, we discussed Social Security basics. And when you were listening to that episode, you were probably listening to it from the perspective of being an employee of someone. For those of you who are self-employed, you may have been listening and ask yourself, how is this different for me since I am not an employee? When we talked about the Social Security basics, we spent a lot of time on your options as you begin to approach the age of 62. And when we say beginning to approach, we mean even in your 50s or late 40s. We suggested that you begin to look at and plan for your options 10 to 15 years earlier than 62. We discussed several options that you have at 62. We discussed what the full retirement age means, early retirement, that you can work and claim Social Security, all of these things. None of this is different for you if you are self-employed. When it comes to your options as you near retirement age, it doesn't matter whether you were working as an employee for someone versus working for yourself the entire time, or a combination of both. The Social Security Administration calculates your Social Security benefits, earnings or work credits, and all of those things that we talked about the same way, regardless of whether you were self-employed or worked for someone else, or a combination. So if you were to look at the cycle around Social Security, when I talk about cycle, they're generally, I'm just giving very basics here, four things that happen. The first thing that must happen for all of us is that we must pay into Social Security. And I think we all know that. So we first pay into Social Security in some shape, form, or fashion. And then there is some amount of reporting to the IRS relating to your Social Security payments and earnings. How much you paid and how much your earnings were each year. So there is some reporting to the IRS. Now, who does the reporting is different depending on whether you're self-employed or you work for someone else. So that's number two. Number three is generally Social Security is keeping track of your records and your benefits. Your Social Security benefits are calculated and determined. They're estimated during your working years and at the point when you are ready to claim Social Security, then you're provided with information to make the decisions that you need to make. And that information would be relating to your specific benefits. So benefits are determined. And then finally, you are the one to claim your benefits at whatever age you'd like. generally, 62 or above. In some cases, it may be before if there's some type of disability. So once again, the cycle is generally four stages. You pay into for a number of years. There is some reporting to the IRS relating to your records, your earnings, and what you've paid into it. Benefits are being calculated, kept up with by the IRS relating to your records. And then finally, at the appropriate time, you claim those benefits. So what we want to talk about in this episode is what is different if you are self-employed versus an employee. Where in this cycle is it different? What do you do differently as opposed to an employee? And what does that look like? Well, I can tell you, if you start from the back end, claiming your benefits is the same regardless. Doesn't matter whether you're self-employed or an employee. Calculating your benefits from the Social Security Administration, determining and calculating your benefits, the same. They don't distinguish between you being an employee or self-employed. But the first two steps, paying into Social Security, is different as an employee versus self-employed. And we will discuss that and reporting to the IRS is different as it pertains to who is doing that reporting, employee versus self-employed. If you work in a job, if you are an employee and you work in a job covered by Social Security, as you know, you pay into Social Security. You pay Social Security payroll taxes on your earnings. You're an employee, and these taxes come out of your paycheck. In addition, your taxes, your Social Security taxes, are matched by your employer. What do I mean by that? Well, if you got paid on yesterday and your Social Security taxes were, that was withheld from your check, was $200, then your employer would have to pay $200 on your behalf as well. So there is your $200, and then they have to put in $200. So the entire $400 is then submitted or remitted to the IRS on your behalf. That's if you are employed by a company. So your Social Security is paid. Your Social Security taxes are paid by yourself and your employer as an employee. If you are self-employed, however, you pay what is called a self-employment tax. Let's make sure we're clear that self-employment taxes relate only to your Social Security benefits. It relates to going into your Social Security records. Self-employment taxes have nothing to do with your federal income tax obligation. Your Social Security or your self-employment tax finances your Social Security benefits. Okay? Now, once again, when you work for an employer, you pay a tax to finance your Social Security benefits. You pay into the system. And you've heard the term FICA, and that's what it means. FICA is short for Federal Insurance Contributions Act. And once again, it's deducted directly from your paycheck. And your employer contributes an equal amount. Because those of you who are self-employed, you are both the employer and the employee of your business. So you don't have another individual who pays a matching part for you. You pay the entire amount. You are required to pay the entire amount that an employer would pay on your behalf and your portion. And you pay this tax when you file your annual tax return with the IRS or in estimated tax payments throughout the year. We will go through that a little later. Just keep in mind that the Social Security taxes you pay are distributed to various funds within Social Security. Generally, there are three funds. It goes into a bucket. It all goes into a bucket so that the bucket of money is available to pay out to those who are about to retire or currently retired. So by the time that you retire, 10, 15, 20, 30 years later, that bucket of money has been funded even greater by different people. So the monies that you put into Social Security, the taxes that you pay, are not just sitting there waiting for you to retire, and those funds are in an isolated bucket for you. That's not how it works. It goes into a general fund. So let's talk about paying into Social Security as a self-employed. First, let's go ahead and clarify. Let's clarify who the self-employed are. Okay? So the self-employed individuals generally are those who are, if you are an independent contractor, you are a sole proprietor. If you are a member of a partnership that carries on a business, you are considered self-employed from the standpoint of Social Security self-employment. And there are other categories, but those are the main categories of self-employed individuals. And most of you will fall under those. There are some others, but independent contractors, if you are an independent contractor, you're a sole proprietor, or you are a partner in a partnership. So the question is, can you both be an employee and self-employed? Of course you can. There are situations where you may be working for someone else and you also have a side business. Okay, so that is absolutely a normal phenomenon for many people in our country. So how do you pay into Social Security as a self-employed individual? Well, you do so by preparing an annual Schedule SE. Now, this is not about taxes. We're not going to provide any tax advice. We're giving just basics so that you can understand the difference with your Social Security processes as a self-employed individual. So, as a self-employed individual, sole proprietor, independent contractor, etc., you will generally file a Schedule C, with your 1040 form. And the income that is listed on your Schedule C is self-employment income. So the bottom line income is going to be your net earnings. Now, the income from your Schedule C must be included on your annual Schedule SE. Schedule SE is used both to calculate your self-employment tax and to report the amount of tax owed. What's important to know is that Social Security or your Schedule SE tax is divided into two portions. You need to understand that when you're paying into Social Security or Schedule SE tax for self-employed, that there is the Social Security portion. That's the Social Security tax, and that is 12.4%. And then there's the Medicare piece. That is 2.9%. The two of them together add up to 15.3%. How is that important? So remember when we talked about being an employee, you pay a portion of your Social Security taxes, your FICA, and your employer pays the other portion or a matching amount. So your portion of FICA is 7.65% of your earnings as an employee. Therefore, your employer matches the other 7.65%. Well, 7.65% twice is 15.3%. So as you see, as an employee, half of the Social Security that is paid on your, that is paid into your account on, you know, and for your credit is paid by you, and the other half is paid by your employer, totaling 15.3%. Self-employed individuals pay this entire 15.3% themselves. So you pay that as both the employer and the employee. And it's allocated. 12.4% of it goes into the Social Security fund there at the IRS, and 2.9% of it goes into the Medicare fund. So that's what funds old age or Medicare benefits. So there is a limit. Your Social Security tax is limited to the first $142,800 of income. So what does that mean? That means if you make $150,000 a year, only the first $142,800, and this is the amount for 2021, only the first $142,800 will be taxed for Social Security. And that's just the Social Security piece. The remaining $7,200 of your income will not be taxed for Social Security. You will not be required to pay 7.65% on that amount. If you are self-employed, you would not be required to pay 15.3% on that amount, in essence. However, there is no limit on the Medicare portion. No matter how much money you make as an employee or a self-employed individual, you're going to pay the Medicare, you're going to pay taxes for the Medicare portion. So let's give an example. If you are a salaried employee, in addition to running a self-employed business on the side, the wages you are paid as an employee will lower the amount of Schedule SE Social Security tax you must pay, because this $142,000 applies to all of your earnings. So let's say you are an employee and you make exactly $142,800. In addition to you being an employee, you also have a business on the side. And with that business, you made $5,000. Because you met the maximum $142,800 of earnings, you do not have to pay any Schedule SE Social Security tax, because you have achieved or met that maximum as an employee. You've already paid the maximum Social Security tax required for that year from your employee job. Let's give another example. If all of your income is self-employment income, once again, you will pay Social Security tax only on the first $142,800. Now, the Medicare portion still applies. So those are basics around paying into Social Security. But as we continue on, we need to understand that as an employee, we all know that employees have taxes withheld from your paycheck. That's why our federal income tax system is called federal income tax. And in this case, we're talking about Social Security, but it's all the same. It's a pay-as-you-go system, meaning the government does not wait until the end of the year to get all of its tax money from you. The government is getting the tax money every paycheck, every so often. As an employee, they're getting it every paycheck. Every one of your paychecks, you have Social Security, Medicare, and other taxes deducted. So how does that apply to you as a self-employed individual? You don't have a paycheck. So how do you contribute in this pay-as-you-go system? Well, you are likely required to pay as you go via estimated tax payments. So you're not exempt. So you should be paying estimated tax payments on a quarterly basis for your pay as you go. You see the difference? Everybody is paying as they go, but it's a little different as a self-employed individual. The onus is on you to know the rules and to follow the rules. You have to initiate. You have to take matters more into your hands as a self-employed individual. As an employed individual, your employer is responsible for taking the money from your check and remitting it to the IRS. Self-employed individuals now have to know they need to do this and prepare and pay estimated taxes on your own, following the guidelines and rules that the IRS has provided. So your pay as you go, you have to initiate and follow the guidelines, the timeframes, the deadlines to make your estimated tax payments. And then finally, at the end of the year, all taxpayers have to settle up, so to speak, and report into the IRS. As a self-employed individual, your end of the year form is your self-employment Schedule SE. Schedule SE. So the Schedule SE essentially is an annual form that's basically figuring out your self-employment tax for the year, what you owed. And in that form, Schedule SE generally is the form that tells the IRS everything they need to know to update your records within the Social Security system. Schedule SE provides the information for your earnings for the year. So whereas an employee, their records are provided by their employer as to how much they earned that year to be credited to the Social Security records, your Schedule SE does the same thing. So it is important as a self-employed individual that you are filing, preparing and filing the required forms, because it will affect your Social Security records. So Schedule SE is the annual form where you're reporting everything for the year relating to your self-employment tax. And keeping in mind, your self-employment tax is related only to Social Security related and Medicare. So it's important to know the differences. It's important to understand that as a self-employed individual, you are doing the same thing as employed individuals, but you are doing them a little differently because you have to initiate and there's more and it's in your hands because you are the employer of yourself. So once again, we all pay into Social Security. And we discussed in the previous episode that every year you can earn up to 4 work credits within Social Security system based on your earnings. So if you're not remitting your Schedule SE every year, you're not getting earnings credited to your records. So your work credits for Social Security is based on the earnings that are reported on your behalf. So 40 work credits are required to qualify for Social Security benefits in your lifetime. 40 work credits on the Social Security records. That equates to generally 10 years of working. And that could be both a combination of working as self-employed and working for someone else. So let's go back to the cycle. Everybody pays into the Social Security system, regardless of whether you're self-employed or work for someone else. How we do it is different. Payroll deductions versus estimated tax payments. And for self-employed individuals, there may be a final settling up at the end of the year when you prepare your Schedule SE. Everybody pays into. everybody has to report into the IRS their earnings and other information for every year worked. As an employee, it's done on your behalf by your employer. As a self-employed individual, you do that through your forms, your quarterly and your annual Schedule SE. After that, the IRS has all of the information, regardless of whether you're self-employed or work for someone else, they have all the information updated every year in order to keep up with your records, calculate your earnings credit, your work credit, keep all of your earnings records, everything that you've paid into, all of that. They have it. And the last thing that needs to happen, regardless of whether you are self-employed or work for someone else, is that you plan for your retirement, you plan early enough, and at the appropriate time for you and your family, you claim your benefits. I hope this information has been helpful to distinguish some of the steps that self-employed individuals would need to take in order to pay into and report and qualify for Social Security. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Basic Money Matters, where we take the complicated financial parts of your life and business and make it easy for you to understand. And once again, please listen to this episode and other podcasts on Hindsight Media Radio Network 103.5, where there is always something good to listen to and talk about.
Thanks so much for joining us for the Basic Money Matters Show. Please visit our website at templemanagementconsulting.com. Be sure to tune in for the next episode of Basic Money Matters. Thanks again for joining us.